First up, we have Becky M. from Prescott. So welcome, Becky, for us.
Hi, my name is Becky, and I am a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Becky.
I guess the first and foremost is that I was introduced to this program long before I actually came. I did see a flyer for Alateen when I was about 15 or 16, and I was too ashamed. I didn't want anybody to know that I wasn't perfect. So I looked at the sign and went, okay, that's good to know, off to the next adventure, usually a boy. And then when I became an adult and my life did actually take that turn where I was at my knees, I didn't know what to do about somebody's behavior. Again, it was a man. He wasn't playing by the rules that I thought I had set. and so I had a friend who recommended that maybe I go to a meeting with her. And when I walked into the meeting, and there were all these women and men who were in their, oh gosh, they must have been in their 50s and their 60s, I realized that I had walked into the wrong room. There was nothing that they had that they could offer me. And that's my arrogance. And so I didn't hear anything that first time. Other than there was that feeling, there was a feeling or a sense that maybe there was something more than the pain that I was experiencing. So fast forward a few, I guess it was probably a couple of years, and I finally met an alcoholic that I realized I had been affected by somebody's drinking. Or I shouldn't say an alcoholic because he doesn't claim that for himself. Somebody who I have a problem with their drinking. This man, he drank so much that I didn't know how much he had. Sometimes it could be 15 beers when he got home. Sometimes it could be the starter. And then, you know, he would end up drinking any type of whiskey or just anything. And I didn't know who I was meeting when I'd come home. It would either be kind and loving, or it would be the very condescending, very judgmental. And that's when I realized that something wasn't right, that he wasn't playing by any rules, and I wasn't playing by his rules. There was just nothing that could happen. And so this woman, the same friend, she said, you know, I really do think that Al-Anon might be somewhere where you can feel safe. And I'm so grateful for that, because I think that I finally heard at least that, like, maybe there was some place in the world I could be safe. Because in my childhood I felt safe, but once I hit school, there was no real safe space for me. Once I became a person of society and started having relationships with people, be it friendships or intimate relationships, I was screwed. And so when I heard that maybe there was a safe space for me, I took a hold of that. And I walked into an Al-Anon meeting, found out later that it wasn't actually an Al-Anon meeting. It was a book study, but they were the fellowship I was looking for. They were the women that I wanted, something that they had, and they were willing to offer that to me. And so St. Patrick's Day, 2007, and wore a green Guinness t-shirt, so that's how I remember that, because that's how a good girlfriend shows up, in her boyfriend's green Guinness t-shirt. And I finally started, the walls started to crumble, and I finally got to hear that maybe Al-Anon could work for me. And then now that I've stuck around, there's a lot of hope and strength that are in the rooms, and my life has definitely changed. One of the things is that it changed not for what I thought was better. That relationship broke apart, and what I realized maybe a year and a half in the program was that I was in the program so that I could keep that relationship together. And it became very obvious that I was getting better, and that wasn't helping the relationship. So I had to make a choice. Either it was going to be me or it was going to be the relationship. And thank goodness for a higher power. Thank goodness for a sponsor. That was the first time that I chose myself and the relationship with myself over a relationship with another human being. So that was one of those things where I had to step through that fear of being by myself, the journey of actually getting to know who I was, what I liked, what movies I liked, what activities I liked. And about a year after that, I did actually meet somebody who is excited about who I am, and we've been able to share our lives for the last almost 5 years. We've been married for 3, and that's really exciting because now I don't have to count his drinks, and I'm not allowed to count his drinks. he's actually a sober alcoholic, so I can't count his meetings. It's none of my business. I'm not his sponsor. He's not my sponsor. And it's so neat because the first and foremost relationship that I have today is with myself and my higher power. That's the only way that I can show up in relationship with other people. And that's like, oh, that's so freeing. I'm getting to do some service work that I never thought was able because my self-esteem was so low. And that is getting to actually help at district level and area level and, bringing the message of Al-Anon and Alateen to those who want it, not to those who need it, because that was my old MO. If I found something that I thought was great, then everybody else needed it. And that's changed for me. So today I get to allow for other people to have their own opinions, their own ideas, and trust that there's a loving authority. And I'm not it. So that's really potent. And I think that's kind of like the main part for me is just remembering that in Al-Anon, coming and sitting in the meetings, that's only part of it. Calling my sponsor and working the steps, that's another part of it. But then going into the service work and actually getting to know how to actually work with other adults and adults who are opinionated and and working with a set of guidelines that are not they're not enforceable. You know, these are recommended, and learning how to actually show up without being a tyrant. So I'm so grateful for that, and I think that might be my time, so I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Becky.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Matthew P. from Prescott, Arizona. Welcome, Matthew.
Thank you. My name's Matthew. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matthew.
I learned some very dysfunctional skills growing up. Both my parents were alcoholics, practicing alcoholics. And so I coined a phrase, dysfunctional normal, and that was that almost everything that I thought, how I acted, how I reacted, how I interacted with the world, by the time I became a young adult, was completely and totally non-productive. And how I came to those skills was living with the alcoholic. The unpredictability of what they were going to do next. I lived in fear most of the time, I learned at a really early age how to disappear from myself. And what I mean by that is become a wallflower. And I wanted to make sure that I didn't make any waves at all. All this is in hindsight. I didn't know at the time as a child and then early teen years that I was doing this. It was all for survival tactics that I learned. When I became a young adult and I went out on my own, it was very clear to me that the skills that I learned to stay safe weren't working for me out in the general public, in my relationships with other people, and it caused a lot of internal turmoil. And the reason I found Al-Anon and the reason I started in Al-Anon wasn't anything virtuous. It was because I was in so much pain and I was looking for a solution. I didn't know what the solution was, but all I knew was that if I kept going and feeling the way I was feeling, I had pretty much pushed everybody out of my life, and I'd basically become invisible. And I didn't want anything to do with you, and you didn't want anything to do with me, and this was without any kind of alcohol around me or people that were drinking around me, my family unit. I was left to myself. And that was a good thing, in hindsight, because it enabled me and forced me to find a solution. And I found myself in an Al-Anon meeting. But I'm going to jump back a little bit, because when I was a teenager, I'd picked my mother up off the floor for the umpteen time and put her into bed. And I remember going to San Antonio because I was in so much pain. I instinctively knew that there had to be some kind of solution. And so I met with someone from Al-Anon, and they told me, because what I wanted at that point is I wanted somebody to fix the situation. I wanted somebody to give me the actual tools to control the people in my life. And we all know how that works. But I was dead set on controlling my parents because I was in so much fear and I was in so much pain. Obviously, that didn't work. And then I went another about 10 years wrestling with my own control issues. Not being able to, as I said before, not being able to connect with another human being. If you did what I wanted you to do, if you acted the way I wanted you to act, if you said what I wanted you to say, and if you treated me like I was your friend, everything was fine. I had no coping skills. So when I fast forward and I came into my first Al-Anon meeting, I heard the experience, strength, and hope of other recovered Al-Anon members who thought what I was thinking, said what I was going to say, and had a solution to those deep down angst that I felt. I hadn't verbalized any of that at that point. I sat in the back, and I remember thinking, you know, how can they read my mind? How do they know exactly what I'm feeling? What's going on here? But there was something that happened. And what happened was that I found for the first time in my life there was a glimmer of hope, because there was a glimmer of a solution that I could see, that I didn't have to live the same way I'd been living up to that point. It's a process. I got a sponsor. I've gone through the steps numerous times. I sponsor people. I do what's suggested, because my best thinking got me into Al-Anon. My best ideas got me into Al-Anon. I'm recovered, but at the same time, this is a lifelong process. It always unfolds. There's always something new. I will rub up against myself, so to speak, when I'm angry, lonely, tired. But the difference today is that I have tools, and the tools I found were in Al-Anon. They're in the 12 steps. They're in the principles that are in each step. I apply a principle to my life, and lo and behold, something happens that's better than what I would have thought how to get out of that rat trap. God's everything or God's nothing. I came into Al-Anon and I was not a God fan, because I figured up to that point I'd been pretty self-sufficient, but miserable. And I really fell in love with recovery once I was introduced and actually went through the third step. I found a God of my own understanding, and this God, that this higher power that I have, I can take all my problems to. I can take all the exciting things that happen to me, and I don't have to carry the load. Before that, I felt like I needed to carry all the load, stay silent, and trudge on. Today, I don't have to do that. Today, I have Al-Anon, I have sponsor, I have the 12 steps, I have meetings. All in all, I have a solution. And that solution today is that I truly can live happy, joyous, and free. And when I first started in Al-Anon, my sponsor said, you go through this process life's going to change. And life changed. I've had all kinds of things come up because I'm living life on life's terms. But I have the tools today. The tools that I grew up with, the only thing I had to change and ask God to change for me was everything. And that's the miracle of this program, was that I became willing to have that done. Left to my own devices, you know, I'll try to take the reins back, and when I do that and try to control the situation or control myself or that kind of thing, never ends up very well. I owe my life to this program, simply put. I owe my life to this program, and I owe the life I get to live today to this program. Otherwise, codependency kills, and I probably wouldn't be here today. So it was someone taking the time to teach me what they'd been taught, i.e. a sponsor, through the steps, the traditions, and service work. Service work is huge. It gets me out of myself. And I'm just eternally grateful to be a member of Al-Anon. Thank you.
Thanks, Matthew. And our last speaker is Lauren, and she's also from Prescott. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you. Well, my name is Lauren, and I am eternally grateful that my higher power tossed me into the rooms of Al-Anon. And that's really the truth. Alcoholism was a way of life in where I came from. It was just simply a way of life. And although I was convinced from a very early age that there was something really wrong with me, that's how my little adult child, or my child mind actually, in the beginning, interpreted this strange way of interacting with other human beings in a house, was alcoholism is generational on both sides of my family. So it's very normalized. And so what happened to me coming from that place was I learned these crazy messages that things like, do not trust what you're seeing. Do not trust it, because that's not really what's going on. So I learned to deny my reality. I was also taught messages that I somehow had the power to cause some of the insanity that was going on in my house. I learned a lot of things that were really twisted and distorted. But what is important for me to remember is at the time I was learning these things, it was normal. Everyone in my family was learning the same things. So as in an alcoholic home, we were such a closed unit. People were not invited to our homes. We weren't really allowed to go places with other people. We were a very closed unit. And so what happened was I left that house at a very early age. I graduated from high school at 17 to get out of that insanity, still not knowing what it was. I got out of there just running away. That was another tool that I learned, is do anything to get away from this discomfort. Do it over and over and over again, if it works, to get away from this discomfort that you feel internally. So that's what I did, and I learned some really twisted ways of looking at the world, of interacting with the world, and at the same time knowing that I could see other people around me that were not behaving the same way that I did. And so that was a conundrum. And I never felt safe enough to talk to anybody about it. So I kept all this stuff inside. And I was convinced by the time I left that house, probably long before I left that house at 17, that I was the one that was insane. And I needed to do everything that I possibly could to learn as many skills as I could to keep you from seeing that I was insane. Because if you knew I was insane, you were going to lock me up. So I learned to do everything that I possibly could to fit in socially, and I did that, and I did it well. Almost too well. I found ways of coping in the social world where I did everything in excess. My story is, you know, I learned to use chemicals to also to cope with this emptiness that I felt inside and this inadequacy that I felt inside and this brokenness that I felt inside. And I call myself an escape artist. I tried everything. I tried men. I tried, drugs. I tried alcohol. I tried stealing. I tried everything I possibly could to alter the way that I was feeling internally. So, by the time I was 19 years old, November of 1984, I was married to a young man. I had been going to school at Texas Tech University, and I was living with a young man and a woman, and is always my MO. If there's a male around with a pulse, I'm going to get intimate with him, and that's what I did. And I had a suspicion that this young man was a homosexual, and so my plan was to get him to confess. So I did what any good Al-Anon would do. I took him out and got him drunk, and I said, let's play truth or dare. He said, great. So I said, truth, are you gay? He said, yes. I said, great, let's get married. We did, and we moved across the state of Texas from way out west in Lubbock to Houston, Texas, and decided that we were going to play house. And wow, what a lesson. And I say that because this is one of many schemes that I've had in my years of what I learned was I could latch on to something, make it true. I would believe that it was true. I would build a world around it. And when that world came crashing down, it gave me an opportunity to be angry with everybody. And that's what I did with this young man. We tried to play house, and of course, what happened? It wasn't going to work. You know, it just wasn't going to work. God bless him. Anyway, so what happened was, this is an amazing higher power that takes care of us. I'm in Houston. I'm desperate. I'm 19 years old. The wife of my husband's lover happens to be a good friend of mine, and she comes to me in confidence one night and says, I think our husbands are having an affair. And of course, I don't know, God is amazing. I didn't say a word. I didn't affirm it. I just kind of looked at her, and she said, I need some help. I've decided that my father is an alcoholic and I need to get some help. Would you go to a meeting with me? And I thought, okay, well, whatever. I know how to support people. So I agreed to go, and we showed up at our very first Al-Anon meeting, the two of us, 19 years old, November 1984, sitting with a box of Kleenex between the two of us, bawling our eyes out. It was the first time in my entire 19 years that I heard the language of the heart. And I heard that there was hope for me. And I heard that there was a name for this weird environment and set of twisted skills that I had been taught, you know? And boy, I latched on, you guys. I went to meeting after meeting after meeting, and I let those people love me, and I listened to them. And it saved my life. You know, it absolutely saved my life. I would like to say that I was able to get free in the rooms of Al-Anon in those first 5 years, but that would not be true. It took me getting involved in another 12-step program before I could really see myself and before I could really see all the manifestations of this crazy illness. But Al-Anon has been a part of my life for 30 years. And it is the lifeblood of my serenity and the lifeblood of my sanity today. And I say that because it's important. If you can relate in any way to the snippet of what we've been sharing, I mean, there is hope for this. And this God is big, really, really big. And I have learned a new way of living as a result of attending meetings, good, solid sponsorship, not somebody that's just sharing their opinions, but somebody working with me out of the book and showing me when my magic magnifying mind needs to know where they saw that. Where is that? They can show that to me, and I'm supported and I'm loved, and I have had an opportunity to grow grow beyond the alcoholic beginning that I was thrust upon, you know, and thrust into. And my beliefs have changed. My lifestyle has changed. I don't seek the risk and the rush that I used to. I'm married. I have a quiet life. I like to go home and put my PJs on at night and have conversation with my husband. Walking in tonight and seeing all these young people around the rooms, I mean, it's amazing. I say, you know, stick and stay. Learn how to use these amazing tools, and someday, you know, you'll be an old lady like me, and you'll be able to sit around a table and talk about this amazing adventure. I was 19 when I started this. I am 49. That is miraculous to me. It just blows me away. I can't believe I'm alive, and I can't believe that I can formulate clear thoughts. And all this is still, all these years later, is a miracle to me, you know, that I can communicate. It's just a beautiful way of life. But as has been said, this is a process. You know, seek God with a vengeance. Trust whatever presents itself as part of this beautiful process. And make those changes when those changes present themselves. And no matter what, do not run from these rooms. You know, we've heard the steps mentioned, we've heard the traditions mentioned, but there are another 12. There are 12 concepts. And after you've been here for a while, and after you get into that place of middle management Al-Anon, the only thing that saved me and kept me in these rooms was learning how to apply those beautiful concepts to my life, so I could allow you to be who you are in your process. And the beautiful thing is, all these years later, I have come to the understanding that every single doggone one of us could all be right at the same time. Wow! That's huge for me. And I'm just grateful to be here, and I'm grateful that I was able to share with y'all. Thank you.
Thank you.